You're listening to Sportsnet Today
with Logan Gordon
on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, kicking off hour two, Sportsnet Today, Logan Gordon along with you in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems downtown studios. For Doug Lacey's Basement Systems, cracked foundation, Boeing foundation walls, they have a simple permanent solution to stabilize your foundation. Contact Basement Systems, they're all things basement-y. Visit dlbasementsystems.com. All things Calgary Flames in hour one. Looking back on a tough loss to the Seattle Kraken on Monday at the Scotiabank Saddledome. Andre Kuzmenko scores twice, but it's not enough for the Calgary Flames, whose five-game winning streak is snapped. Next up, Tampa Bay, Florida, and Carolina for a three-game road trip. News today from the Calgary Flames on a travel day. They have claimed defenseman Joel Hanley off of waivers from the Dallas Stars. The 32-year-old from Keswick, Ontario, now joins the Flames D-Core that is soon to be without Noah Hanifin. We'll see if he makes his debut with the Flames on this upcoming road trip. Connor Zary placed on IR to make space on the roster for Joel Hanley. And as we talked about earlier, Martin Pospisil will have a hearing on Wednesday with the Department of Player Safety for his hit on Vince Dunn. If you missed any of that, check us out on the Hour 1 podcast. It goes up moments after every hour, finishes here on Sportsnet 960. Would love to have you along for the ride in that Hour 1. Also, a chat with James Nichols from New Jersey Hockey Now, all things Devils, after they fired head coach Lindy Ruff. They're kicking their post-Lindy Ruff era off Tuesday night with a visit from the Florida Panthers. Yes, still a very exciting couple days before trade deadline, and potentially, New Jersey still with their eyes set on Jacob Markstrom. So if you missed any of that from James, it'll also be on the Hour 1 podcast. And yes, trade deadline is this Friday. We're going to have you covered wall to wall here on Sportsnet 960. Big show, Sportsnet Today, Flames talk with Steinberg. Whether the Flames do something before Friday, they wait till the deadline day, we'll have it covered here. We got a great set of sponsors helping us out on Friday, including SML Entertainment. Visit the new showroom on Center Street, just north of Glenmore Trail, and check out luxurious hot tubs, top-of-the-line pool tables, SML Entertainment, where the fun never stops. While the Flames prepare to lose a veteran defenseman in Noah Hanifin in the next couple days and weary of a trade, they did bring in Joel Hanley, well-respected defenseman from the Dallas Stars. He spoke with our own Pat Steinberg just a few moments ago on this Tuesday to talk about joining the Calgary Flames and his excitement for the new opportunity ahead of him.
We're talking with Joel Hanley, newest member of the Calgary Flames, claimed off waivers from the Dallas Stars on Tuesday. Joel, really appreciate the time. And just kind of give us your thoughts on how the day has gone and kind of how this all goes from your perspective.
Yeah, no, it's the last 24 hours have been pretty crazy. It's been a first for me. But just hearing the news that, you know, Calgary, you know, claim me and I'll be a part of their team, I'm so excited to be a part of that. And, you know, just with, you know, the great history and the fans and such a great organization in a Canadian city, I'm just super excited to be a part of that.
So what goes through a player's head, as you mentioned, a really interesting 24 hours? Like, are you mentally preparing yourself to be claimed? I'm just curious as to what goes through the mind of a player in that weird 24 hours.
Yeah. It's hard for sure. I think just the initial shock of hearing the news. But you know, at the same time, you're kind of ready for anything, and you never know what's going to happen. So just the unknown is kind of crazy. But you know, like I said, hearing the news that Calgary picked me up, it was a great relief, and I'm just super excited.
So for those of us who have never been NHLers and for those of us who have never been pro athletes, can you take us into what happens? You get the news, you've been claimed. What are the next few minutes, few hours like for a player as he's got to quickly get himself to his new team?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So So, basically you don't know if you're going to be claimed or not. So I guess if you're not claimed, then I would head down to the AHL team in Dallas. But once I heard it was Calgary, and then you get all the phone calls, and the Calgary just has welcomed me so gracefully. And hearing from the coaches and GMs and, you know, all the staff members has been great. And so after that, just basically get my hockey gear and pack up a little bit, and then, you know, head to Tampa to meet the team.
You can tell there's a lot of excitement in your voice, Joel. Does that go to the fact that it is a new opportunity? Does it come from the fact that you've had some really good conversations with the Flames so far? You can just tell you're really excited right now.
No, yeah, I think it's all of the above. I think it's just, you know, a new opportunity to, you know, just prove to myself and to just prove to myself that I can be an everyday NHL player. I know it's not an easy thing, and, you know, Calgary has such a great team that, you know, but I just want to be a part of that, and I'm just going to do my best moving forward.
Do you see a really good opportunity just fit-wise for you as a left-shot D? Do you see a really good opportunity with an opportunity to play lots with the Flames?
I guess it's hard to say. But, you know, I think just having a new opportunity with a new team is something that I'm very excited about. And I guess time will tell as we move forward and, you know, get accustomed to everything. But just very excited to be a part of it.
I know when they claimed Braden Pahal off waivers from Vegas a few weeks ago, spoke with him kind of in the same situation, and he said, look, I know that I'm going to get an opportunity and get a look in the very beginning because I've just been claimed. They want to see what I'm all about, and it's on me to prove that they did the right thing. Is that kind of a similar mindset that you'll be taking now as you're joining the Flames?
Yeah, I think a little bit for sure. I think, I think just right now, obviously a little bit of nerves and stuff just with everything that comes about it with the new team and, you know, not knowing a lot of the guys. But I'm just very excited to, you know, like I said, just to have that chance and to, you know, hopefully prove to myself and to the team that I can just be a part of the team moving forward.
We're chatting with new Calgary Flames defenseman Joel Hanley joining us here on Flames Talk. Joel, just overall, how would you describe yourself as a player for those unfamiliar? What type of player are Flames fans going to be watching here?
Oh, man. I think, honestly, I'm a very simple player. I try to be very reliable defensively, and, you know, I try to basically do whatever I can to help the team win, if, you know, whether it's blocking a shot or making a hit, and just try to be very reliable and, you know, trust the team structure and basically just do whatever I can to, you know, help the team win in the end.
You're a left shot guy. How comfortable are you playing either side, though? Are you fairly comfortable playing on your offside?
I think basically this whole year in Dallas, I've just with the way our defense was structured, I was playing the right side, and it's something that I've got more comfortable with over my career. I think it's obviously a little bit harder than the left side, you know, playing in the offensive zone in certain situations. But I think overall, I'm more of a left-handed shot defenseman, but I don't mind playing the offside as well.
Do you remember your first regular season goal? As soon as they claimed you, I remember. Like, I remember that goal he scored on Markstrom. I think it was in your 100th career NHL game. You scored your first NHL goal against the Flames at American Airlines Center. Do you remember that one?
That's so funny. Yeah, I do remember it. I think it was just a shot from the point, and it kind of got lucky, and I don't think Markstrom saw it, just went through his five hole. So it was a very, very lucky play. And, but I think it was right around the time my first son was born. So maybe that was a little bit of luck going into it, but, it was very exciting to obviously get my first goal.
I guess kind of a silly question asking if you remember your first NHL goal. I guess you scored one in the bubble, but that was the first one that you scored in front of fans. I would imagine you probably would remember that one, hey?
Yeah, no, it was weird because some of my friends were like, I thought you already scored, but yeah, it was in the bubble and in the playoffs, so I don't think that one counted.
You got into 13 playoff games with Dallas last year as the Stars went on their run. I'm just curious, as the Flames are smack dab in the middle of a playoff race in the Western Conference, you know, that experience, what do you think you can bring from that playoff experience last year into your new locker room?
I think a lot of, I'm sure a lot of the guys in that room, you know, have done the same thing. And, I think just having the experience that, you know, I've went through is, I think I can bring, you know, that into the locker room as well. And, I don't know if there's anything in particular, but just hopefully I can just bring my game and, you know, play hard. And, that's basically it.
You've been in 20 playoff games the last 2 years. You just learn more than anything else how much everything ramps up once you get to the springtime. Hey.
Yeah, no, I think that's a big thing for sure. You know, it definitely ramps up. You know, the games get harder and, you know, teams are bringing their A game every night. You know, every game and, you know, every shift, every play matters. So, it definitely amps up. And it's, you know, I think I'm a good competitor. And, you know, I think, you know, I like playing in those environments.
Two more for you. You go from a Dallas team that was very clearly going to be a playoff team, but still every night is important. But now you go to a Flames team that every night feels kind of like, if it's a loss, it feels that much more important. And the wins are so crucial right now with everything being so touch and go. Just I guess the motivation level and the excitement level stepping into a race like that. What goes through your mind when you think about that?
Yeah, it's like you said, it's, you know, all their players and, you know, everyone in their organization has battled to get to this spot. So, you know, hopefully me coming in, I can, you know, hopefully provide something to, you know, help the team get those wins. And like you said, every point is so crucial. So, you know, I know how important it is. So I don't take that lightly and, you know, just want to do my best every night.
And
if I get a chance.
Yeah. And finally, any connections, anybody that you enter the room knowing pretty well, anybody that you've played or trained with before?
I think Jordan Osterley, I know him a little bit. I had a roommate in college and for 4 years, and he was his cousin. So, I know him a little bit on a personal level, and obviously everyone else I've kind of played against and know them from watching a lot of hockey and being a fan of the game. So I'm just looking forward to, you know, meeting everyone and getting to know them personally.
Well, that's awesome. We'll let you go. I know you got a scramble ahead of you to go meet the group in Tampa Bay. Thank you so much, Joel, for spending a little bit of time with us this afternoon. Good luck getting to Tampa and good luck joining the Flames. Hey.
All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much. Looking forward to it.
There you go. That is newest Flames defenseman Joel Hanley, claimed off of waivers on Tuesday by the team. In talks with Pat Steinberg, host of Flames Talk here on Sportsnet 960, checking in with Joel on a very busy day. And I can't imagine that process, Shan. You know, Pat sort of laid it out with Joel very, very well. But I got to imagine that's one of the tougher things, especially this guy like Joel Hanley, who you've spent as much as half of a season playing with the team, but you're always that 6-7 guy, and you never know when someone's going to take a chance on you, and boom, all of a sudden, you know, you're in this massive playoff race with Dallas, and now you're like, hey, I'm coming to Calgary. You know, yeah, okay, maybe not in the standings point where I want to be, but a chance for me to be a full-time NHLer, like, that's a roller coaster of emotions for a guy.
Well, and he hasn't played in the AHL in 5 seasons, right? And he's been in and out of the lineup. Yeah, he's been 6-7 for Dallas, and you're right, making that playoff push, and you start to mentally prepare for it. And then all of a sudden you're put on waivers, and for 24 hours you're thinking, man, am I done? Like, for a guy like that who he's a defensive guy, and yes, there's a place for that in the NHL, but sometimes you get sent to the AHL and you don't come back. And yeah, you're still playing hockey, but obviously the dream is to play, the goal is to play in the NHL at a consistent level, and he's going to get that chance in Calgary. And you're right. Like, I mean, Pat said it multiple times. You could hear his excitement. So it's cool to see. It's cool to hear his excitement and to hear that he's just happy to be playing hockey. And I'm expecting to see the same level of effort. There are some players that go from a cup contending team, and you know, you get moved at the deadline as a piece for you know, they bring someone quote unquote better in, and then you're like, well, man, this sucks. Like I was ready to compete for the Stanley Cup, but no, I'm excited to have Joel Hanley here. And can I be an insider for a second?
Please, you are the insider on the show.
Yes, as the Sportsnet 960
insider.
Except
for when it comes to Pittsburgh Penguins news, in which case I hold that distinction.
Yes, you're the Pittsburgh insider. But I know Joel's cousin, and all I've heard is amazing things about Joel. So, I'm excited to have him in Calgary and to solidify this back end that even with Hanifin looked a little shaky at times yesterday.
It sure did, and I think you can't be surprised that Craig Conroy's gone out and added a veteran guy to the blue line, because you're right, we have seen some growing pains. Ryan Huska mentioned it last night that didn't like how his team started out defensively, and that's why we saw those six on defense sort of get shuffled up as the game went on. I'll be very curious when the team lands in Florida and gets set for Thursday's game against Tampa Bay what it looks like, because I think now more than ever the conversation's very real about sitting Noah Hanifin out on Thursday. I think I'd probably lean on the side of doing it myself, just for asset management thing. I don't know why one game in Tampa would be the one to stand in front of you. I know from a head coaching perspective and a player's perspective, you want to win and ice the best team. But at the end of the day, if you know that guy's not coming back, I think you have to protect the asset. So, you know, as soon as Wednesday, when this team hits the ice, we could start to see what this group is going to be assembled like and start to see how they're going to go about their business. And it means increased roles for Shillington and Anderson and Weegar, who already have big roles on this team. But, you know, you're going to have to find somebody. And I think in two games, if I'm being honest, you know, Dennis Gilbert on Saturday, Jordan Oesterle on Monday, I haven't seen enough out of either one yet to make me think that that's the guy. There's certainly still a gap between them and, say, Braden Paul in my mind, who's been a very steady presence.
He's been great.
In that back end as well. So I think Joel Hanley is going to get a very good opportunity here. And that's where that excitement comes from. I've seen a couple of people mention on social media, which is never the most positive place anyways. But,
really?
Yeah, it's hard to imagine. You know, hey, oh man, how must Joel Hanley feel going from a cup contender to going to the Flames? And, you know, from a personal perspective, it's great. It's a great move from Joel Hanley. You know, with all due respect, with Chris Tanev going there, you look at that blue line in Dallas, you know, you were a hard seven.
Yeah.
At best. And maybe even less if you had gone through waivers, you might have been back in with the Texas Stars, right? That's just how deep that group is right now. And for him, it's 32, still trying to prove that he's a full-time NHLer. Well, here's a perfect opportunity in Calgary to go and do that. And that's what I think. At the end of the day, that's what guys, I think winning is big, obviously, but I think also proving to themselves that they can be in every game, especially if you've never achieved that, right? If you've never played a full 82, that's always in the back of your mind, right? You're always sitting there thinking, how do I get to be a full-time regular? And just because he handles being a seven well, doesn't mean he doesn't want more, right? So I think that's where some of that excitement comes from a guy like Joel Hanley. If you're a Flames fan, I think you have every right to be excited about hearing from him there and hearing that he's excited to be a member of the Flames. That's always a good thing.
He is one of, like, exactly the player that Calgary Flames fans love. Obviously, I'm not saying he's some crazy talent that's going to wow you, but He plays hard.
I thought you said he was just like better than Connor McDavid.
Well, and that's, see, I've seen him
you
play.
You said Cale Makar 2.0 earlier today. I watched him
poke check McDavid once, and I said, this is the greatest defenseman I've ever seen in my life.
You're not one to jump to conclusions very fast.
No, I'm an insider, but I don't jump to conclusions. But listen, this guy is a solid defenseman, and we just saw Chris Tanev go, and I hate to compare him to Chris Tanev because that's not, you know, it's really hard to do what Chris Tanev does, but just seeing a solid player that you kind of don't have to worry about every night is pretty cool. And I want to take this quick time to with all the roles and that Shillington has stepped up, it is amazing to see what Shillington's done since returning and how he's progressed and how he's stepped up. Because if he doesn't make his return and he doesn't step up, we're looking at a very different team and one that you're like, geez, this is getting rough. So it's pretty cool to see Shillington take that increased role.
Sure has been. Back down to about 16 minutes of time on ice on Monday against Seattle. Got to imagine that'll jump back up once Noah Hanifin gets traded. For those curious, Hanifin was a dash three on Monday, 22:58 of ice time, third, behind Mackenzie Weegar and Rasmus Anderson. Did want to mention as well some other waiver news on this Tuesday edition of the show. Sam Gagner placed on waivers by the Edmonton Oilers. That's going to be an interesting one. People wondering if Gagner might be a late pickup for a playoff team.
He started so well in Edmonton this season.
Always does. Always does. We'll see about that. But also, Guillaume Brisebois, defenseman for the Vancouver Canucks, placed on waivers. Max Comtois, who just signed with the Hurricanes, is on waivers as well. Vinny Latera for the Minnesota Wild, and Jake Lucchini for Minnesota as well. So expect to see a very busy waiver wire over the next couple of days as teams adjust salary cap and roster spots ahead of the NHL's trade deadline on Friday. We'll take a break, come back on the other side. Vancouver Canucks got a big piece of work done a couple days ago in Elias Pettersson's new contract. How did we get there? What finally pushed it over the line to get him to sign on the dotted line long-term in Vancouver? We'll ask our pal Vic Nizar from Sportsnet 650 all about that next here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. All right, hour two rolling on here in the Doug Lacey's Basement Systems Downtown Studios. Logan Gordon along with you, alongside producers Cam and Shan, wrapping up the hour by going down the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline and chat all things Vancouver Canucks with our next guest. Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver brings us the one and only Bic Nizar, the Vancouver Canucks in L.A., for an 8:30 Calgary time puck drop. Bic, how are you, man?
Getting my sleeping bag ready for a 7:30 puck drop here locally.
Yeah, it's midnight. One of those tough ones for you guys out west, eh?
Yeah.
How have things been? Busy times. I know we've chatted a couple times this year, and every single time that we had those conversations, Elias Pettersson's name came up, and now the dust has settled on a long-term contract. Has the blood pressure level around Vancouver collectively gone down now that this is done?
Yeah, I think so. Now, look, there's still the segment of the fan base that is unsure of, you know, a player. Some people are still critical of Elias Pettersson and his playing style. So some people are very much like, I don't know, 8 years for $11 million, it's a big ask. But by and large, the overwhelming response is, thank goodness this is done. A fair helping of credit towards Patrick Alvin and Jim Rutherford for reestablishing the Vancouver Canucks as a organization over the past 2 years to get them to this stage. Because, Papasan even mentioned on our station that not entirely certain that this would have happened if the Canucks hadn't reimagined their future.
Talk to me about all the noise around this, because on the outside, the Carolina aspect of it all sure feels like it was a big part in it, but based on everything you guys have heard and everything that you guys have sort of followed along with this story, was that a big part in getting Elias Pettersson to sign, or was that just the Vancouver Canucks doing their due diligence and making sure they had their bases covered?
Yeah, part of me is, you know, I've used the phrase on your show. I've used it hundreds of times on my show. I use a phrase called "act like you've been through a superstar negotiation before," right? And you just know there's common deadlines that push action, and you know one of the things that spur deadlines and contracts is other teams getting involved. And as you just said, it's due diligence, right? He's an RFA, or he was an RFA. Teams are going to check in, and it's that GM's responsibility to do so, and it's the Canucks' responsibility to go down the path to understand what the worst case scenario is, because the last thing you wanted is June 29th materialize and Elias Pettersson comes up and he's like, you know what, I'm not going to negotiate in a couple of days, I want out, and you're not prepared for the worst case scenario. So there's a certain level of, like, Jim Rutherford, Patrick Vane have to do the job, and they're just mechanisms that are going to get deployed over the course of the year. And my surprise comes into how far it seemed to have gone. And whether just the idea of, hey, we can trade you if you're not ready to talk to, hey, we have some things that we have to discuss now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the part that really took me back of how high stakes of a game that Jim Rutherford is comfortable playing and Patrick Ellvein are comfortable playing. And that's the thing that really kind of staggered me is, like, this isn't some middle six winger that they like and that they want to keep. This is Elias Pettersson. This is, like, guys like this don't necessarily grow on trees, and they were willing to play the biggest of games to try to make this work.
What's the reaction been like from Pettersson and his camp to this? What was, you know, sort of the message from him when it came down to the question of inevitably as to why this was the right time to sign the deal for him?
Well, the big thing, too, is that the team has managed to right the ship, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that as far as the things that Elias Pettersson has wanted, right, if you take out term and money, right, those were always going to be solved. He was going to get whatever he wanted. The team is restabilized to start winning again. And the progress that the franchise has made, whether it be, and he unprompted brought up renovations around the rink to increase the training. Now, they still have to sort out a practice facility, but that's been in the works. Land is hard to acquire here in the lower mainland. But just go through it. Like, what better spot is he going to be in? He has a great relationship with Rick Tocchet, who coaches everyone hard and trying to get the most out of players. And he has a tremendous winning record here in Vancouver. He's got a stud D-man in Quinn Hughes. He's got a stud goalie in Thatcher Demko. There's some support coming, let alone JT Miller, Brock Besser, guys that are doing it right now. And I've made the point that as far as a legacy point of view, to get the first cup in Vancouver, I'm hard-pressed, like maybe outside of Winnipeg, to say it would matter as far as a legacy outside of Winnipeg is about it. And I know there's other cities, you know, Toronto would make a big deal about their next cup, and Montreal would make a big deal about their next cup, and I'm sure Calgary and Edmonton would too. But the first one in Vancouver, I think as far as a legacy standpoint, whoever is the one that helps get it, it's going to matter a big deal.
How much do you think, as you sort of talked about, you know, rebuilding the Canucks and making them into a, you know, a place where you want to be again as far as, like, winning and having, you know, similar talent around you, how much do you feel that played into this for Elias Pettersson and his camp? Like, was wanting to know what kind of organization he was going to be with going forward a big play for him?
I would very much suspect so. And it was referenced that, you know, he's been privy to the vision that Patrick Ellvein and Jim Rutherford want to do. So this was because, like, term and money wasn't the issue. Like, there's only so many things that you can land on, and he's been mentioned, like, his legacy. It's the famous interview that we love to reference here in Vancouver. His sit down with Elliot Friedman on the boat in Sweden in the summer, and, you know, he brought up, like, Lionel Messi's legacy and what it meant to him to see him lift that World Cup. And, like, that sort of stuff, to get there, you have to win games. And this franchise, I've referenced the post-bubble playoffs, this franchise chose to hit pause on competing just for a little bit, and I think we can all understand why, because it was a pandemic and there was certain financial realities. It was a very tough landscape to figure out. But as a player, like, you've got a finite number of years here. And to see a couple of them burned off while the franchise is working through it and you're competing and you're putting up 100-point seasons, at what point are you going to get back to the standard that you expect to go compete at? And the fact that they're there, they've done so much work here in just 2 years. They've revamped the decor. You know, they bought OEL out. They've been willing to be aggressive. And I suspect they'll still be aggressive here the next handful of days. And in the coming months, that's just the nature of Jim Rutherford and certainly Patrick Ellvein as well. So to reestablish that, to me, is huge, because I don't think you're in this spot if the Canucks are, you know, outside the playoffs right now.
Speaking of being aggressive, Big Nazar's along with us from Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. How about I get your live reaction to something I'm reading on Twitter right now?
The Lindholm thing?
Yeah.
For
the listeners here, let's just lay it out for you, Bick.
Yeah.
Here's Chris Johnston, NHL insider, Obviously does work with TSN and The Athletic. Tweeted out just as we got on the phone with Bic. Canucks believed to be among those pursuing Jake Guentzel. Word is they've had discussions about potentially flipping Elias Lindholm to the Bruins as part of the machinations to make it happen. Nothing concrete in place at this time. Still lots of moving pieces. And just to add the cherry on top, Pierre LeBrun, also of TSN and The Athletic, has quote tweeted it with the always fun this time of year eyeball emojis, Bic. Something or nothing in your mind reading that?
That is certainly something, because, look, I'd still be stunned, but I was always a little put off by, like, the demand for Lindholm. Like, he's a good player, and he's done good things coming to Vancouver. But to me, like, the number one thing that they always had to solve was a winger for Elias Pettersson. They tried it, and they've gone back, and Rick Tocchet said he's a center. Lindholm is a center. So they've gone to three centermen. And it's Miller, it's Pettersson, it's Lindholm, and it's kind of working, I guess. Like, each player is kind of doing their thing individually, but for the most part, it's been mildly underwhelming with Lindholm coming in. I suppose this is the benefit of doing it a month in advance, but that one always gets mentioned as at least they can work through the growing pains. I'd be stunned if there's a reality where it flips like this and they manage to flip them after... what would it be, 16 games? This is the Wild West right here with Trader Jim. I will say that. So I guess anything is possible. But it would so much break the mold of reality that what we see.
And I guess, if we wanted to put one forward foot towards it, Rutherford would have a pretty good knowledge of Jake Guentzel going back to his time in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, certainly. Like, the Guentzel thing, I think, is absolutely, like, they've enamored with the idea of getting Jake Guentzel in Vancouver. Because, as what I was just saying, they need a goal-scoring winger next to Elias Pettersson. Whether it's Guentzel, see if Tyler Toffoli becomes available, obviously a long-standing relationship. Not even that long. It was a rental piece. But that connection worked between Elias Pettersson and Tyler Toffoli.
Mm-hmm.
He had a very successful run. In the handful of games during the regular season. It was a little tougher in the bubble because he picked up an injury, but there was obvious chemistry there. Kind of getting an off-the-puck goal scorer from Elias Pettersson would be a huge help to this organization right now, because the guys that have featured there, and Nils Höglander's got 19 goals, all coming at even strength, he's kind of filled like the Andre Kuzmenko void, where he's converting a lot of rebound chances, getting tip-ins and in and around the net. But his work away from the puck isn't necessarily fantastic, and he's not the whip it and score kind of scorer, which I think next to Elias Pettersson would work a great deal, and he just hasn't had that since Toffoli left.
We'll definitely keep an eye on that report from Chris Johnston and watch where that goes this week. I did want to ask you about Philip Roenick, a guy that we've talked about at different times when I've had you on to talk about the Canucks, Bic, and it sure seems like this is a guy due for a pretty big payday when it's all said and done. And the Canucks have a really interesting offseason ahead of themselves. And look, I know that's getting ahead of ourselves because it's a team that's poised right now to make a long playoff run. But since the Pettersson deals happened and is now set in stone going forward, is Roenick sort of the next one that Canucks fans are keeping their eyes on and trying to figure out what that's going to look like for the long term?
Yeah, this one's almost flown under the radar the whole year, mostly because Philip Roenick likes to fly under the radar. He rarely speaks to media, is rarely asked to speak even as well. And before the season, I know it was only four games, but we talked about potential contract comparables on our station, and there's just a flood of that D-man that makes $50 million for 8 years, right? It's not the lead guy, but maybe a number two D-man, number three D-man, certainly a top four guy. Weegar signed it, Morrissey signed it, Severson, Ryan Ellis signed it, just in and around that range. And now you go have the season where you're breaking personal bests and you're on pace for 55 points. And it's been well reported. Frank Cervelli's mentioned the idea that the number starts with an eight, and you start looking at it, and yeah, the Verona camp is going to have a pretty good opportunity to demand something pretty large, because he's having the perfect season at the perfect time, and it's odd, too, because at 27 years old, you know, D-men usually get locked up at, what, 23, 24, and then sign again at 29, 30. Here's Roenick sitting at 27, going to get this deal. The guys that have signed in and around 27 to 29, yeah, they get a pretty chunk of change, whether it be, you know, the cap hit percentage on a shorter-term deal or just a large-term deal. Like, Oliver Ekman-Larsson's contract was signed when he was 27, turning 28, and it was an eight-year deal at 8.25. And just looking at the type of careers they had and where Filip Ronick is at, I could absolutely make the case that it should be in that range.
And I guess to that point, too, knowing the UFAs that they have and knowing how good a fit Roenick has been, can they afford to lose him in the offseason? Like, are you, as soon as you lose that guy, are you not immediately trying to land the next Filip Roenick in town, right, if you're Patrick Helvin?
Well, I imagine that's why, if he is able to get to unrestricted free agency, someone like Chris Tanev would be high on their list, right?
Yeah.
There's that like-for-like replacement, or just right-handed, obviously, but there's a chemistry with Quinn Hughes. And the biggest thing Filip Roenick for me has done to bring out of Quinn Hughes is his passing ability. And he gets Hughes going in motion, whether it's in the defensive zone, first pass out, and he gets it to Hughes, and he's already in motion. Or they're so good at these, like, D-to-D passes in the offensive zone with razor-thin margins. So the pair of them just draw wingers out, and they're able to link up, and it's the guys down the wall past the winger. Chris Tanev can do that. Now, when Quinn Hughes has had other partners, like a Luke Shen or Noel Juleson, some guys have filled in, it's very much just be the stay-at-home guy, get it to Hughes, and then let Quinn Hughes do the operation. But if you have someone who can make passes in the O zone, that would still get a lot out of Quinn Hughes. So Tanev fits that mold. Is there a scenario that unfolds where they move Roenick at a certain price point that they can't negotiate to and try to bring in a Tanev at a cheaper cost? I could absolutely see that. And I just don't see a reality where they're prepared to pay, you know, 8.2 or something like that for Filip Roenick.
It's going to be interesting to see. Lots going on around Vancouver. And as you mentioned, it's kind of that time of year where things get a little silly over the next couple of days. We'll wait and see if anything else happens with the Canucks. But instead, enjoy tonight's game, man. Get some coffee in you, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate it. Bick Nizar joining us on the Atlas Pizza and Sports Bar guest hotline from Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver. And perfect timing to have that Vancouver guest. If you missed it, I don't know if it happens, but man, would it ever be interesting. It's that time of year where things are flying around, and Chris Johnston from The Athletic, NHL insider, tweeting now about 15 minutes ago, Canucks believed to be among those pursuing Jay Gensel. Word is they've had discussions about potentially flipping Elias Lindholm to the Bruins as part of the money to make it happen. Johnston would say nothing concrete in place at this time. Still lots of moving parts. His colleague at The Athletic, Pierre LeBrun, another noted NHL insider, also fanning the flames with the ever tempting eyeball emojis, quote tweeting Chris Johnston. And I'll tell you this, Shan, Elias Lindholm's not beating the Elias Pettersson insurance label.
No,
if that happens.
Not at all. This is not something I ever expected talking to my sources, but this is wild, and this is getting to silly season. You're right. He seemed like a perfect fit in Vancouver because he can play that 2C. He can also play the wing, and they've tried him everywhere, and it has not worked yet. So, man, I feel for the guy, but from a Flames perspective, you're kind of just watching this with popcorn.
Yeah, that's, and I mean, again, you go back, Jim Rutherford and his time in Pittsburgh, he would know Jay Gensel well. And if you're Vancouver, maybe getting the deal done with Calgary early gave you enough time to say, look, maybe the Lindholm thing's not working. Maybe we can pivot to another option. Boston's been a name that we talked about, a team that we talked about here in Calgary as a potential Lindholm suitor, going back to when he was with the Flames. And now all of a sudden you're starting to piece things together, and going, okay, so maybe Vancouver actually needs more of a scoring winger, so they go out and get Gensel. And to make it work, Boston, who hasn't made their major splash yet ahead of the NHL's trade deadline, is eventually the landing spot for Elias Lindholm. It just so happens it goes through Vancouver first.
Yeah, that is interesting. But Vancouver has to get it right because this is the best they've ever started a season. I mean, we're not the start of the season anymore. We're getting to the end of it. This is the best season the Canucks have had, really. They can't mess this up, and Lindholm hasn't worked. So if that's like, I don't see how Gensel doesn't help any team. He's that good of a player. It makes sense. It's just Vancouver's going to have to give up a lot to quote unquote get it right.
Yeah, and it sure sounds like by every indication, Gensel is going to be a rental wherever he goes. Doesn't sound. I mean, Vancouver wouldn't have the money to keep him anyways. If we were just talking with Bick there, they've got. I feel bad talking about the future of Vancouver because they're in the midst of this great season. But it was even hard before the Pedersen extension got done because they've got so many key UFAs. Say they keep Lindholm, well, they're not keeping him. You know, Teddy Bluger's been a good fit. He's a UFA. Sam Lafferty, same thing. Pod Colson's an RFA. You had five defensemen, UFA or RFA. Myers, Zadorov, Cole, and Mark Friedman are all UFAs. Roenick needs a massive extension if you're going to keep him. And, you know, I like what Bick was saying. You know, it's, you know, maybe you look for a cheaper option, but it's been such a good fit for Roenick in Vancouver. And you're going to have the guy for a year and a half, and you're just going to say goodbye to him after a great season and not find a way to keep him. Like, that's insane to me.
That pairing was so unbelievable to start the season. There was a point, they were the only pairing in the league to not allow a goal against. They look really good together. And I don't know if this is maybe starting to realize that the retool on the fly thing has its consequences, because you bring in a bunch of guys that have 1 or 2 years left on their contracts. And it's like, oh, we're doing so well. Oh gosh, we got to pay them all now. And yeah, I don't wish the worst for Vancouver here, but could you imagine if Elias Pettersson signs this crazy contract and then everything blows up right away and you realize that, oh man, we're going to be another fringe team for a year or for a few years. I can't see that fully happening, but they're shooting above the mean right now. They're playing above expected, and at some point you'll regress. I still think this is a really good team that has a chance this year, but after this, I don't know if I have confidence in Vancouver going forward.
Lots on the text line at 960-960. That's where we'll wrap the show off of that Chris Johnston tweet coming up a little bit earlier about the Canucks potentially exploring bringing in Jake Gensel, which would in turn, according to Chris Johnston, require Elias Lindholm perhaps being moved to the Boston Bruins. This text says, Elias Lindholm is a very indifferent player, lacks that fire and competitive spirit. I think Vancouver is finding that out now. This text simply says, Elias Midholm. Matt and Cochran says, you can remove Jim Benning from the building, but not the management team, it seems. This text in reply to what Bick was saying, if Lindholm's your third center, you've got a pretty good team, but they don't need him as a third line center. They kind of need him as a top six option to spread out Miller and Pettersson, and he really hasn't. When they've done that, their offense has taken a really big dip, and they were hoping that maybe playing, you know, with some of their more offensive guys in Vancouver, at least they thought, was going to bring some of that offense back out from Elias Lindholm that you saw during his time with, you know, a Kachuk or a Gaudreau. And man, it sure hasn't happened.
He was only on the best line in hockey that year, and he was lethal, and he was good in the playoffs, and he had that shot that it's like, okay, you get it to him, you know, in the slot between the dots, like, it's probably going in, and we just haven't seen that all year. I'm still shocked by the return they got from Vancouver, and hypothetically, if this trade is to happen, I can't be a Vancouver fan and say, well, I'm happy with that one. Like, that's a disaster, but truthfully, like, I expected him to do well in Vancouver. I expected him to improve on his offensive numbers and be that solid top six guy. I don't know what happened to that guy.
We'll find out. We got something to watch for as we close out the show. Again, NHL insider Chris Johnson of The Athletic sending out a tweet this afternoon that the Canucks are hot after Jake Guentzel as a rental from the Pittsburgh Penguins, and perhaps in doing so may look at moving Elias Lindholm to the Boston Bruins as part of a trade. So something to keep your eyes on. It's silly season. Welcome to NHL trade deadline week. We got lots to talk about as the week moves on and we get closer to our full day of coverage on Friday. We'll have it all for you here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. If you want some Vancouver reaction to that, we just had Bick Nizar on from Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver, and he gave us some live reaction to that tweet from Chris Johnson. So if you missed that, check it out on the podcast. Also heard from Joel Hanley, the newest member of the Calgary Flames. He had a conversation with Pat on Tuesday afternoon. His excitement level is at a peak coming to Calgary. He's really excited to join the team in Tampa Bay. So lots on the Hour 2 podcast, Google, Amazon, Spotify, or your favorite podcatcher. We'd love to have you along for the ride. Thanks for listening, whether live or on the podcast. Thanks to James Nichols and Bick Nizar for joining us. Thanks to Cam and Shan, my outstanding producers, for their great work on this Tuesday. Of course, we'll dive into all of it again on a Wednesday edition. We're inching closer to the NHL's trade deadline. Keep it locked right here for all the latest on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.